I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Radio Times. Gun rights supporters carrying firearms met in a park in Lower Merion, just outside of Philadelphia, yesterday afternoon to protest an ordinance that they said could prohibit them from carrying guns in the township's parks. While the ordinance does not ban people who can legally own a gun from parks, the organizers said the ordinance is vaguely worded. This is part of a statewide effort to force municipalities to comply with a new law that says that state gun laws take precedence over local regulations. This law is being challenged by Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and Lancaster. The rally was organized by Firearms Owners Against Crime and Concerned Gun Owners of Pennsylvania, and it's our topic in this hour of Radio Times. Joining us here in our Philadelphia studio is Shira Goodman. She's executive director of Ceasefire PA. That's an organization working with mayors and police chiefs, faith leaders, community organizations, and individual Pennsylvanians to take a stand against gun violence. Shira, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us and joining us by telephone is Joshua Prince, an attorney with the Prince Law Offices. He specializes in firearms law. He also heads the Firearms Industry Consulting Group. That's a division of Prince Law Offices, and he was one of the speakers at yesterday's rally. And Joshua Prince, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you for having me as well.
You're very welcome. Were you disappointed in yesterday's turnout? My understanding from reading a number of reports was about 50 to 60 people showed up.
I think those numbers are a little low. I believe it was more around 80, as some of the reports later reflected when they went back and calculated the numbers. However, for that location and the weather that existed yesterday, we believe that was a very good turnout.
But why did you want to protest this ordinance at that park? And then we're talking about Ballykinwood Park.
Correct. Lower Merion has on its books an illegal ordinance that restricts people from being able to carry firearms in that park. And as a result, they wanted to hold a rally there showing that this ordinance is illegal and trying to open a dialogue with Lower Merion regarding repealing its illegal ordinance.
And how does carrying firearms open a dialogue?
Because Lower Merion has refused to repeal its ordinance and has said that it will stand steadfast in enforcing its ordinance.
The commissioners, though, voted earlier this year that the code that they passed, they believe, and this was a vote 11-3, complies with the state law. From their perspective, they are in compliance with the state law.
Unfortunately, they're incorrect, as we have case law directly on point, such as NRA versus City of Philadelphia, that said that any type of regulation regarding firearms or ammunition is prohibited.
Was anyone...
So there's no dispute that the ordinance is illegal, and it's been illegal since 1974.
I want to toss a couple of questions to our other guests, but to you, Joshua Prince, was anyone arrested yesterday in the park for carrying a weapon?
To my knowledge, no one was arrested or cited.
And does that tell you something about this ordinance in Ballykinwood?
It has absolutely no merit and should be repealed.
Let me get you in on the conversation, Shira Goodman. I know you've had this conversation from a number of different perspectives before, including one here on Radio Times. How do you read this ordinance?
Well, I think that the ordinance, it's a little wordy, and it talks about not having guns in the park unless there are certain exceptions, one of which seems to be people who are licensed to carry. And so I think that the Township Commissioner meeting in January heard from both sides of the issue. There are people who thought it should be rescinded. There are people who thought it was legal. There are people who are worried about it. They decided to stand firm. Nobody was arrested yesterday. I think that Mr. Prince's reading of prior cases, you know, he's talking about some of the dicta in a Supreme Court case. You know, there are other cases about guns in parks, but there are even questions raised in footnotes of some of his own cases about whether there are other ways that municipalities could regulate. And again, here, there doesn't seem to be a ban on guns in the parks. I'm wondering if Mr. Prince is so concerned about this ordinance, why he hasn't sued yet. He's already sued Harrisburg, and whether yesterday was a test to try to force somebody to perhaps be arrested and have, in his mind, maybe a stronger case.
Joshua Prince, are you going to sue the township?
We are. Lower Merion should expect to receive a lawsuit, a complaint in the next week. And also, I would like to point out, as Shira just mentioned, she even acknowledges that seemingly a license to carry exempts the person from prosecution. Even she is not sure whether it does. And Lower Merion's township's solicitor, their attorney that represents the actual township, even had suggested that they repeal their ordinance because it likely did violate the law.
Let me read from the ordinance. It says, no person except authorized members of the police department shall carry or discharge firearms of any kind in a park without a special permit unless exempted. And then it goes on to say, the thinking being that anyone with a concealed weapon permit or carrying an unconcealed weapon was technically exempted under the law. To you, Shira, I mean, would it make more sense to make this clearer so there wasn't any question or any ambiguity about the law?
Well, I'm not a municipal attorney, so I'm not sure. But I think it's you know, Mr. Prince uses terms like this is clearly illegal, it's unlawful, it's in violation. Those are things for courts to decide. That's why he's going to bring his lawsuit. We have a lot of questions. He's been sending letters across the Commonwealth threatening lawsuits to lots of municipalities about lots of kinds of regulations, guns in parks, lost or stolen reporting, which has never been held to be violative of preemption. Things about discharge, bans on discharge, which some cities of third class have the right to do. So, you know, just because Mr. Prince thinks it's illegal doesn't mean it is. And I think that we have to see what the courts have to say about this. And the problem is that because this law was passed last year that allowed people like Mr. Prince and other people to sue risk-free because they might be able to get attorney's fees if they win, these towns are feeling threatened that they don't have a choice, that they can't wait through a court case to see if their ordinances were legal or not. And the few that have decided to in fact wait are being punished with lawsuits.
Joshua Prince,
we need to address the fact that the Commonwealth Court did address lost and stolen ordinances in Clark versus House of Representatives and specifically held that they were unlawful. And that was prior to the passing of this new amendment regarding Section 6120.
Let me ask you, though, and I'm not the lawyer here. Let me ask you, Joshua Prince, then what is the goal? What do you want in terms of the rights of gun owners in Pennsylvania?
We want all officials, whether publicly elected or otherwise, to comply with the Crimes Code. As I alluded to earlier, since 1974, it has been a misdemeanor of the first degree for any municipality to enact any regulation regarding firearms and ammunition. And prior to the enactment of Act 192, they provided the additional standing and attorney's fees. In December, I sent a letter to Lower Merion, giving them the opportunity to repeal their ordinances without needing to burden their taxpayers. Their solicitors supported repealing the ordinance, and the commissioners voted not to.
Meaning you're going to go ahead with your lawsuit?
Correct.
Go ahead, Sharon.
So, you know, Mr. Prince goes back to the 1970s and talks about how this has been illegal all along. Notice that these lawsuits weren't succeeding. They didn't have people who had standing. District attorneys weren't prosecuting local officials. The state legislature wasn't coming down and saying, we're going to let people sue. Not until this year with the special standing where it says you don't need anybody to have actually been injured or fined or harmed in any way. And, by the way, we'll give your attorneys fees, but not to the city if they win. Do we see this kind of rash of lawsuits and Mr. Prince sending these letters? So I don't think this is about correcting some 40-year-old wrong. I think this is about they don't want any regulations by anyone. And starting at the municipal level, but they also don't want regulation at the state level. Like Harrisburg can say it wants to regulate in this field, but it's not. It's not doing lost or stolen statewide legislation. It's not. You can't bring a gun into the Capitol, but it won't give municipalities the same rights to say we want to keep guns off our municipal property, out of our municipal buildings, out of libraries. So I think that really what the gun lobby is looking for here is no municipal regulation, and then let's get rid of the state regulation, and then we'll work on the feds as well.
Is that how you see it?
No. The law has been clear that they cannot regulate, and they've been violating it all this time. And their whole argument is, well, we're publicly elected officials, so we should be held above the law. People across the United States are tired of that argument. Our publicly elected officials are not better than anyone else. We should all be treated equally, and if it was any other individual, they'd be being prosecuted.
So
we provided an opportunity for those municipalities, without having to incur any attorney's fees, the ability to repeal their illegal ordinances. Those that have elected not to will end up having to pay for their decision.
Well, I mean, let's talk about that. So, you know, you want to treat people equally. Nobody's above the law, except that you now are empowered by this new special law that grants special standing, redefines what it means to be an aggrieved person. To be an aggrieved person now, you don't have to be aggrieved. That's what 192 does, and it's only for this one special type of case. So, you know, I don't really see that as treating everybody the same.
Go ahead.
Really, because it's a crime. And because district attorneys weren't prosecuting it, the General Assembly said we're going to provide another mechanism to require compliance with our laws.
Yeah.
Simply ignoring them is not acceptable to the General Assembly.
Well, then maybe district attorneys should have been directed to do something. Clearly they're not. What they did was they gave a gift to the gun lobby, to you. You have now a jobs program, something that other attorneys
really?
Don't have. Yeah.
Explain what you mean there.
Hold on. What I did was send out letters giving all these municipalities an opportunity before incurring any costs, before their taxpayers were burdened, to amend it so that there weren't those costs. So how do you explain that when you say that the gun lobby is strictly concerned about putting money in the pockets of the attorneys when I have hundreds and thousands of dollars in expenses outstanding sending all these letters and haven't received any money in response to that?
Go ahead, Sheer.
Well, so, you know, I know that Mr. McShane, who's suing Harrisburg, was asked if he was going to waive his fee. He said he's, you know, I don't think he said yes. He didn't say no, but he certainly didn't say yes. And he talks about the fees that he's incurred. Jonathan Goldstein was here with me a few weeks ago. He's not waiving his fees. In fact, he called himself the cudgel that's being used against the cities. And are you going to waive your fees when you've already sued Harrisburg and you're going to sue Lower Merion? Are you going to take fees?
Absolutely not, because you haven't repealed the ordinances that are illegal. I gave you an opportunity to do such, and they elected not to. So as a result, then yes, they are going to have to incur the attorney's fees, and the taxpayers need to consider that come election time.
Let me just jump in here, and we're almost up on a break. To you, Joshua Prince, the commissioners, though, voted 11-3. They believe that this code complies with the state law.
And they're free to do whatever they want unless they're violating the crimes code, which they are, and even their solicitor told them that they needed to repeal their ordinance. And even proposed an amended ordinance back in December after receipt of my letter.
And they exercised their power to hold a public meeting, a public hearing, and they took a vote. I mean, that is what they do. You have the right to sue them. You've been granted this special right. You're going to be able to, you know, get somebody who may or may not live in Lower Merion because they don't have to. And in fact, you don't even need an individual now, right? You can sue on behalf of one of these groups. That's what 192 lets you do.
We need to take a very short break, then we'll get back to our conversation. That's Shira Goodman. She's executive director of Ceasefire PA. Also with us, Joshua Prince. He's an attorney with the Prince Law Offices, specializing in firearms law, and one of the speakers at yesterday's rally at Ballykinwood Park, having to do with an ordinance, a local ordinance, and guns in parks. We're going to take a very short break, get back to our conversation. Lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. Just a quick recap. Members of Concerned Gun Owners of Pennsylvania and Firearms Owners Against Crime rallied in Ballykinwood Park in suburban Philadelphia yesterday to protest an ordinance that they said could prevent them from carrying guns in the township's park. Township commissioners said that they believe their ordinance complies with the state law. Our guests are Joshua Prince. He heads the Firearms Industry Consulting Group, one of Sunday's speakers, and Shira Goodman, executive director of Ceasefire PA. And again, to join our conversation, especially if this is where you live, we want to hear from you. 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Joshua, I just wanted to quote one of the organizers, Kim Stolfer. He's founder of Firearms Owners Against Crime, told a mainline newspaper that this rally could be a Rosa Parks moment. Does this feel like a Rosa Parks moment to you?
I believe it is. Rosa Parks stood up for her civil liberties. The Second Amendment, it's undisputed, is part of one's civil liberties. Lower Merion is violating all individuals' right to keep and bear arms in their park. and therefore it is a Rosa Parks moment.
But as I said earlier, I asked you earlier, from my understanding, no one was actually arrested in that park carrying firearms.
That's irregardless. There is still a chilling effect by them having that specific ordinance on the books, which they have said they intend to enforce. If they had no intention to enforce it, why wouldn't they repeal it?
Sheer, how do you feel about this Rosa Parks analogy? Does that...
We and some of our members and even Mayor Nutter issued a statement. There are certain things that you don't say, right? You don't talk about genocide unless you're talking about genocide. You know, I don't think you use the word rape unless you're talking about the crime of rape. And I don't think Mr. Stolfer's a white man from Pittsburgh who's coming to a park with guns, a park that didn't want him, a neighborhood that didn't want him. I don't think he has the right to compare himself to Rosa Parks. So, yes, there's a this is the Second Amendment's in our Constitution. The Supreme Court has talked about an individual right to have a handgun in the home for self-defense. I don't think it's the same thing. And in fact, as you said, nobody was arrested yesterday. There weren't police or neighbors with hoses. People weren't beaten. They were able to exercise the right that Mr. Prince, you know, wants to fight for. But to call this a Rosa Parks moment, I think is offensive, and I think it's just completely misguided.
Joshua Prince, why is it important for people to carry guns in parks?
There is an inherent right to self-defense. It's an inalienable right. An individual has that right to carry a firearm to protect himself and others, and it's as simple as that. These individuals who carry firearms are not out there committing crimes, and in fact, probably the statistics would show most individuals who are carrying in parks, contrary to any local ordinance, are carrying concealed and have firearms in those parks, and no one even knows about it. There aren't these atrocities being committed as they'd like you to believe. And I'd ask Shira to specifically bring up statistics, show us actual events where people in parks are being harmed by people carrying firearms. It doesn't exist.
Does it exist, Shira?
You know, I don't know. I think that there could be events, but I don't think that's the point. I think the point is that this township had passed an ordinance that I think it wanted to discourage people maybe from bringing guns in the park, but it didn't. You know, they don't believe that it prohibits people. So, and people yesterday, they declared this an open carry rally. Now he's saying most people carry concealed, people don't know, it's for their personal protection. Why do you then come out open carrying guns on the hip, and do this and come to a neighborhood that doesn't want you there? If you're not, you know, I don't think they're trying to convince people of the rightness of their ways. I think they're trying to intimidate people, and I think they were trying to force the township to rescind this ordinance again without him having to file a lawsuit.
Joshua, go ahead and respond to that.
As Shira just acknowledged, the purpose, in her opinion, is to discourage people, which would equate to the same word she used, intimidate people, and has an absolute chilling effect on their civil liberties. It is no different than what occurred with Rosa Parks, because they said, you had to sit in the back of the bus. She said, no, I will not. And it's the same thing. It's an illegal law that should be struck down immediately.
Look, I can't speak for the township. I don't know if that was their purpose in discouraging it, to discourage or not. So I may have misspoken, but I'm saying as I read it, you know, I think people there didn't want guns in the park, but they wrote the ordinance in such a way that probably people could still legally carry. They looked at it. They had a vote on it. You disagree. But I don't see – nobody's rights were chilled yesterday, and I don't know that that's an exception or not. And you carried out – you know, you brought your people. You said you were going to have hundreds. You know, one of the newspapers said you claimed there could be 280 to 480. You're claiming today you had 70 to 80. They had guns. They were openly displayed. There's pictures. You had signs. I don't think anybody bothered you. You had your rally. No, you said yourself nobody was arrested. Nobody was stopped.
In fact, I think, and I do want to get to the callers, I think Joshua Prince, a lot of people living in that neighborhood were surprised that guns were actually allowed in the parks. I think that was a learning moment for a number of residents living in that part of suburban Philadelphia.
And that may be the case. There were also a number of Lower Merion residents that were there in support of the right, saying that their local township does not have the right to restrict their rights in any way, shape, or form.
Let me get
and while it may be surprising, if they don't like what the law says, they do not have a right to violate the Crimes Code. What they do have is the right to petition their representatives to have the law changed. That is the proper response, not arguing that I'm a publicly elected official, so I'm above the law.
I don't think anybody's arguing that. I really don't. I think that they did what they felt was right for public safety. They believe it's legal. And, you know, you keep talking about that they should be held accountable, but you haven't found a way. Nobody has wanted to hold them accountable until you have convinced these people to give you the right to sue. The district attorneys weren't doing it. The attorney generals, and I'll remind you that in 2012, we had Republican attorney generals, including the former governor who signed Act 192. They were not prosecuting these local officials. They were not bringing the hammer or the cudgel down on these local towns. This is something that you created with this law, 192, and it's going to get you, Joshua Prince, and your law firm money.
Let me get to some callers, and we have Paul from Solbury, which is actually Bucks County, not Montgomery County. Paul, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Yes, I'm a supervisor in Solbury Township, and last summer we were looking to put signs up in our parks, and included on the signs was to be a statement about no firearms. However, our solicitor said that we would be in violation of state law, and we enacted a new ordinance which did not mention firearms at all and put up signs that did not mention either the ability to carry firearms or the prohibition against it. However, there's a state park in western Pennsylvania in Crawford County that specifically has a sign up that says that firearms are not permitted. So it seems as if it's a two-edged sword in that you're choosing to pick on some townships, but you're not looking to enforce the state laws in the state parks.
Joshua Prince, go ahead.
That's not correct. And actually, I have an outstanding
letter. Well, but hold on. Give him a chance to respond. Go ahead, Joshua. Go ahead.
That's actually not correct. We actually have an outstanding letter with DCNR. There is a separate state provision that says that no agency of the Commonwealth may regulate in a manner inconsistent with the Uniform Firearms Act. So in that regard, if it is a state park, they cannot regulate the possession of firearms or ammunition in that state park. Representative Maloney has been instrumental in moving forward with that and demanding that they respond. Attorney General Kathleen Kane issued a decision in regards to the casino gaming regulations that prohibited having a firearm in a casino, and even Attorney General Kathleen Kane found that the gaming regulation violated Pennsylvania law and mandated that they immediately rescind that ordinance.
Let me get Chris from Bala Cynwyd to join our conversation. And Chris, go ahead. You're on Radio Times.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I was at the rally, actually, yesterday. I just want to say, you know, I don't really have a horse in this race. I don't own a gun, and it's not particularly a cause close to my heart. However, I did want to hear what the people at the rally had to say. And I was, you know, Ms. Goodman, I want to tell you in all honesty, I'm a resident of Bala Cynwyd, and I was happy to have the rally people there. I think it's America. This is what it's all about. And my question to you, Ms. Goodman, is if this ordinance is in fact vaguely written, which you have said it is, and it is in some conflict with the state law, what's the harm in rescinding it?
Or rewriting it?
Or rewriting and making it clear. What's wrong with that?
Go ahead, Sheila.
Well,
sure. No, thanks, Chris. Thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Thanks,
Sheila.
Chris. I'm not a township commissioner. So, you know, they listened to the residents at that meeting and they said, we want this ordinance. We think it's okay. We like what was on the books, and they voted to keep it. So I think that might be a question more for your commissioner about why they chose to keep it. But, you know, they, like I said, you know, Joshua claims they're violating the law. We think that they were acting as, you know, they're legislators in the township.
And that's Shira Goodman. She's executive director of Ceasefire PA. Also with us, Joshua Prince, an attorney with the Prince Law Offices, specializing in firearms law, heads up the Firearms Industry Consulting Group, was one of the speakers at yesterday's rally in Bala Cynwyd at Bala Cynwyd Park in Lower Marion, just outside of Philadelphia. We're taking calls at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Andrew from Bucks County to join us. Andrew, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I attended the rally yesterday, and my question for Shira is, will she condemn the malicious acts of people placing nails along the streets. She mentioned about, you know, no hoses were turned on people had beaten. But isn't this an attempt for the cowardly bullies of the community to intimidate people who just wanted to express their First Amendment rights?
Hi, Andrew. So just in case some people don't know what you're talking about, I've read about this on Facebook that some of the folks at the rally claim that nails were thrown, I think, on Trevor Lane, which is one of the entranceways to the park. If that's true, Ceasefire PA and I, Shira Goodman, certainly do condemn that. I don't have any evidence either way, except for some pictures on Facebook that there were nails. So I would say we condemn that. But I also want to be very clear that Ceasefire PA told people to stay away from the park that day, not to engage. We recommended having no confrontations at all. I believe there were very few confrontations. I really don't know what happened with these nails, but certainly we don't condemn anybody throwing nails anywhere.
My understanding, and this is only anecdotally, and I just wanted to ask people that I knew in this area whether they saw nails on the street. They did not. I'm not saying that they weren't there, but at least anecdotally, there was no people didn't have to go onto other streets because of there were nails in the streets. Do you,
Marty,
though,
if I can interject?
Yeah, please go ahead.
You know, the police were called. The police did come. The police are investigating it. In fact, the police called in all of their vehicles to check their own vehicles, because they were concerned that their own vehicles may have had punctures and nails placed into them as they were driving down the roads. So it is an actual incident. I'm sure if you contact the Lower Merion Police Department, they will be happy to confirm that there were complaints and that they did actually see the nails being located on the street.
Yeah, we will definitely follow up on that, because we're obviously hearing a number of different perspectives on it. Do you, though, Joshua Prince, and just picking up on what Andrew said, talking about, you know, the cowardly people that live in this area, the bullies that live in this area, is there a place for this kind of language?
Everyone's throwing terms around at each other. And, you know, Shira's saying it's intimidation when they get together in the park, yet when it's simply the commissioners doing something, it's just to discourage people. It's all terms of art. Everyone has a dog in the fight, and everyone is using words that have certain connotations and meanings for their own perspectives. And that's consistent. But let me remind everyone, everyone has a First Amendment right. I will be the first person to defend Shira's right to say whatever she believes, provided that it doesn't violate the law.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we would all, all be in agreement with that.
I think some people may agree. I really actually agree with what Joshua just said. There is a lot of rhetoric. There's a lot of emotion. People use different terms. Certainly, we have said things are intimidating and bullying, and that's the same language Andrew used. And like Joshua said, if you're not violating the law, right, you know, the First Amendment, like our other rights, including the Second Amendment, is subject to reasonable regulation. But within those prescriptions, like Joshua said, you know, people can say how they want to say it.
Fair enough. Let me see what Fritz has to say. Fritz from Allentown. Go ahead, Fritz. You're on Radio Times.
Hi, Marty. You know, Joshua Prince just said that he thought that evidence would show that all this increased carrying of firearms is actually going to add to our safety. There's a lot of evidence that says the opposite, specifically regarding concealed carry. There was just a study released from the Violence Policy Center that did a systematic analysis of all killings by people who had concealed carry permits. They found 544 incidents, 722 people killed, and only 16 were deemed to be legitimate self-defense. The incidents also included 44 murder suicides, 28 mass shootings, and 17 law enforcement officer killings. This trend is not good for our safety. Quite the opposite.
Fritz, I appreciate the call. Right. Let me give you a chance, Joshua Prince, to respond to that.
Obviously, the organization that put out that, the Violence Policy Center, has a dog in the fight. And when you actually look at the statistics, they aren't what they say they are. And they have extrapolated data to benefit their agenda of finding that those allowances, the ability of individuals to conceal carry, increase crime, which is not true. You can find so many different studies that completely refute that, that it's not even funny. But that's their agenda. And again, they have a First Amendment right to put it forth. But we would ask that they put it forth in a responsible manner that actually reflects the true statistical data.
You want to weigh in on
that? I think that the Violence Policy Center is highly respected. I think that they do, you know, peer-reviewed work. And so I'm going to have to disagree with Mr. Prince on that. I'd also, you know, thank Fritz and say that in addition to the data that he showed, we also do know that, you know, guns in the home increase risk for homicide and suicide. This township, this area, has just suffered a devastating suicide by a teen, which is another reason that we thought this was not the time to have big rallies and counter demonstrations about firearms. And so there is a lot of data out there, and people need to be educated.
We're almost out of time.
You know what?
Yeah, because, go ahead, Joshua.
Because vehicles cause so many crimes, mainly DUI, individuals who are driving DUI with their vehicle, we should clearly restrict who can have a vehicle.
Well, we do, actually.
We'll reduce crime because we'll reduce all those drunk driving occasions. We'll reduce all those vehicular homicide occasions. We will save all those innocent lives.
But
so,
we do have laws, Joshua.
Promoting is,
we do have laws about driving drunk, and you have to be a certain age in order to get a license and a provisional license. We do have those laws.
And we have crimes against murder, don't we?
Sure.
So what's the analogy?
You made the analogy about cars. I never bring up cars because as soon as I bring up cars, you tell me there's not a constitutional right to drive. You brought up cars.
You're right. But what I'm saying is everyone is saying that because a gun, a tool, is used in a crime, the tool is inherently evil. Therefore, we should be banning cars because the car is the tool that results in people dying through DUI and other occasions of criminality.
Well, Joshua, right. Friends, and we're almost out of time here. I hate to do this, but we do have a third guest waiting in the wings, and no one in this discussion was talking about taking away people's right to have legally a gun. On that note, though, Joshua Prince, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times, and Sherry Goodman, thank you very much as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. We're going to take a very short break, and then we have Dan Baum waiting in the wings. He wrote a book called Gun Guys, A Road Trip, and we have much more to discuss. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Firearms Owners Against Crime and Concerned Gun Owners of Pennsylvania met in Ballackinwood Park yesterday afternoon. This is just outside of Philadelphia to protest an ordinance that they say could prohibit them from carrying guns in the township's parks. While the ordinance does not ban people who can legally own a gun from the parks, the organizers said the ordinance is vaguely worded. We wanted to get Dan Baum to join us. He's been a guest on Radio Times a couple of times, wrote a book called Gun Guys, and he's a gun owner who says he is a liberal. He was a staff writer for The New Yorker. He's been a reporter for The Wall Street Journal and The Atlantic Journal Constitution. And Dan Baum, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
It is nice to be here.
And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. Dan, you were listening in on our conversation. Did you learn anything?
You know, I don't mean to be unkind to you or your guests, but that was the dumbest debate I have heard in a long time. We're not talking about guns. I mean, all this stuff about the dicta of the Supreme Court and this was not about gun rights. And most of our debate about firearms in the United States is not about safety. And that's too bad because even though homicides and violence are down tremendously from 20 years ago, probably the biggest public policy success of my lifetime. Still, way too many people in this country get shot in accidents. Most of them are suicides and a lot of homicides. It's appalling. And people have a right to be upset about gun violence. But the gun debate in this country is not about seeing to it that fewer people get shot. The gun debate, and this one was a classic of the form, is about class. There are class divisions in this country that we do not discuss explicitly because in the United States we have a mythology that class does not exist. So instead of talking about class, we talk about things like guns. And while there are exceptions, if you look at the industry statistics about who buys and uses guns, the bulge of the gun guy demographic is rural, straight, white, middle-aged men who have not finished college. Now, again, That's not all gun owners.
Sure, no, let me just defend our dumb debate, if you would.
Okay.
And only because we've done several shows about this, we were responding to a law that was signed by former Governor Tom Corbett late last year, basically giving the NRA and its supporters standing in local communities to challenge gun laws that they saw in violation of the state law. So there are actually some real legal slash gun issues at stake here. And a number of townships have said, look,
if I may interrupt, even that one is not really about guns. It is about rural areas versus urban areas. That's exactly what I'm talking about. The appetite for gun control tends to be concentrated among educated people who live in cities. And the resistance to gun control tends to be, again, there are exceptions, right, but tends to be people who live in rural areas. So these preemption laws that the NRA pushes are about rural versus urban. It's really not about gun rights. And you can say it is, and it's certainly not about public safety. And listen, I have open carried. And I have a concealed carry permit. I got a concealed carry permit when I was doing my book because it helped me to do my book.
Sure.
Open carry is whack. Open carry is crazy. Open carry is unsafe. And most serious self-defense trainers will tell you it is a crazy thing to do. So this whole debate about whether we have rights to carry guns openly in parks to defend ourselves is nuts. If you want to defend yourself, the way you do that is with a concealed handgun, because you don't want everybody knowing you've got a gun. That's the last thing you want.
Well, and this is
about display, and this is about putting it in the face of people in Bala Cynwyd who are kind of the archetype of the gun control promoting metrosexual multicultural liberals that the other side has a tremendous amount of contempt for. That these two sides have a lot of contempt for each other. It was kind of like the Nazis marching in Skokie years ago. I mean, there's a reason they did this in this particular place. It is to make a class point. That's what this is about. And meanwhile, while we have this silly gun debate over background checks and magazine size and gun bans and this and that, none of which have anything to do with public safety, people continue to die. Because we do not talk about this stuff like grown-ups.
Well, and I don't disagree with anything that you said there. At the same time, in Pennsylvania, you may think it's crazy, but you can open carry, assuming you pass, you know, criminal background checks and things like that. You can open carry a gun. In fact, you don't even have to be checked. You just have to make sure that you don't have the background that would prevent you from doing that.
And it is unwise. You can probably also drive a car that is too powerful for you to handle. You can probably have a 5,000 square foot house, which you can't afford. I mean, we're allowed to do all kinds of things that are unwise. The reason people open carry, though, is not for self-defense. And if they tell you that, they're either fooling themselves or they're fooling you.
You're saying open carry is kind of an in-your-face way of being a gun owner?
Tactic, and especially these rallies. And especially rallies like this in places like Bala Cynwyd. I mean, it's just, you know, it's theater, and they are making a point. And the two sides, again, you know, you're really not allowed in polite society to express contempt for people based on who they are, right? So we have other ways of doing it, and the gun debate is a classic, and it would be okay, really, if it did not get in the way of doing things that might actually see to it that fewer people got shot. And for me, that is the only standard. What is going to see to it that fewer people die from gunfire?
Why, though, and you've talked to, you're a gun owner, you've talked to a lot of gun owners, why, though, do so many, and I don't even think it's the majority, but certainly the more outspoken of gun owners feel like victims. They feel as if the law is against them. For instance, President Obama made it okay to carry guns in national parks, and yet somehow he's seen as you know, an opponent.
Well, he also tried to ban the most popular firearm in America. So... He's, and again, He didn't even have to do, even before he did that, he was their enemy because he is the, you know, my brother and I were talking about this. President Obama, the reason the Bubbas hate him is not because he's black, is because he is the first president of my lifetime, I'm 59, who has not pretended to be a good old boy with the pork rinds and the Southern accent. He is an unabashed NPR listening urban liberal.
Perish the thought.
And he pushes their buttons. And why are they so angry and why do they feel like victims? I drove 15,000 miles around the United States. I talked to a lot of these guys, and you're right. They're furious. They are furious, even when they're winning every battle. And let's face it, the NRA wins every battle it fights. The gun people win every battle they fight, and yet they call themselves the victims. Why? Because this is a class of people, these middle-aged, white, straight, mostly rural men, have been screwed in this country in the last 30 years. They haven't had a wage increase since 1979. And when I was a kid, all the cultural heroes were straight white men. And now the least cool thing you can be is a straight white man. Everybody has more cachet and social status. These guys feel tremendously diminished. Their house is underwater. Their wives are earning more than they are. They're out of work. They haven't had a wage increase. I mean, life has been hard for these guys. And then along come the very fortunate people living in the cities, sipping wine with their pinky out, in their view, right? And wanting to take away or diminish the one thing that makes them feel relevant and competent and powerful. And it is a class division. Look, I'm a member of both tribes because I'm a Jewish liberal Democrat from New Jersey, and I'm a gun owner. A pox on both their houses. They are behaving really badly. And again, it wouldn't matter if so many people weren't getting killed. And so we need to stop this nonsense and start talking about what is really going to see to it that fewer people get shot.
See, I don't think you're alone. And I happen to know some gun-owning, NPR-listening people that live in this.
Yeah, there are a few.
Yeah. No, I do. I mean, more than a few, I have to say.
Of course you do. Of course you do. And we all know exceptions. But I'm saying the gun industry studies their market very well. And they publish reports, and you can look at it. And the bulge of the gun guy demographic is the one that I'm talking about. And certainly the vocal political wing of the gun guy demographic is the one I'm talking about.
Let me quickly reintroduce you, and that's Dan Baum, our guest in this portion of Radio Times. Wrote a book called Gun Guys, and as he said, a gun owner who's also a liberal. And we wanted to get him to weigh in on first the debate that we had earlier in the hour. He called it a completely stupid debate about guns. Fair enough. And we want to hear from you at 1-888-477-9499. Send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can send us a tweet at WHYY Radio Times. An email from Michael, and he's right. He says, as I understand, open carry does not even require a permit in Pennsylvania at large, which is my understanding. That's true. You just have to make sure you don't have a criminal background and things like that.
Right. Yes. Open carry is legal without a permit in a lot of places.
So where is, I mean, if assuming that there are more people like you, and I think there's something like 4 to 5 million members of the NRA, which means that most people that have a gun in this country are not a member of the NRA. You can take that in a number of different ways. How then do we find this middle ground where we can agree on safety and making sure that people aren't using guns to commit homicide or to kill themselves or to have their children play with their guns?
There's about 350 million guns in private circulation in the United States. We think. We don't really know.
Right.
Trying to control violence by tinkering with what might happen in a gun store in the future is on its face crazy. We have to do something about the 350 million guns in circulation right now. Okay? More than half the people who die from them are suicides. A lot of them are accidents. And then we have the homicides, which are very high in the United States. If we want to do something about those guns, the guns that are already in circulation that we really have to do something about, we need to make friends with the people who own those guns because they're the ones who decide what happens with them. And right now, those folks are sloppy. They leave guns around where kids can find them, depressed teenagers can find them, and thieves can get them. Last time it was studied, about 80% of the guns used in crimes were stolen. So we have this enormous pool of guns out there that gun owners, the people who are the custodians of the national civilian arsenal, they're not careful enough with them. They don't lock them up. I believe a gun should be on your hip or in your safe, whereas people are leaving them in nightstands and glove compartments and desk drawers. So we need to do something about the guns already in circulation, which means we need to recruit as allies against gun violence the people who own the guns. And you don't do that by saying, I trust you with a 10-round magazine but not 15 rounds. Mm. I trust you with this gun but not that gun. I trust you to do this with your gun but not that with the gun. The two sides, if the people like your guest who really say what they are, what they care about is gun violence, they need to drop all that and they need to make friends with these people. And we need to recruit them as allies. We need to get them into the fight against gun violence. And we're doing the exact opposite with debates like the one today.
Fair enough. But let me put something. You talked about stolen guns, and there was an effort in Pennsylvania to have people report stolen guns. If your gun was stolen, then you should report it to somebody. Well, that was shot down.
Yes, yes. And there are 26 states plus the District of Columbia where you are required to have a gun safe. And here's why laws like the gun safe law and the reporting law are a bad idea. Gun guys are so angry right now, for all the reasons we discussed before, that if you tell them to do something, they, for precisely that reason, they often won't do it. The liberals want me to lock up my guns, I'm not going to do it. The liberals want me to report a stolen gun, I'm not going to do it. Whereas, if within the gun community, we could create an ethic that, dude, lock up your damn guns. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go shooting with you anymore until I see that you have got your guns locked up. Or your gun was stolen? It is, come on. We think of ourselves, we gun owners think of ourselves as paragons of virtue, defenders of democracy and all that. Then act like it, right? Your gun was stolen. It is now a public safety hazard. Report it to the police, right? It is your duty as a citizen. We gun guys love to go on and on about our duties as citizens. Well, that's your duty as a citizen. But that has got to be something that comes from within the gun community. And the gun community is not going to examine its own conscience while the other side is constantly trying to get these insulting laws passed that even if they were passed, would not make anybody safer.
And Dan, we're almost out of time here. I mean, does Wayne LaPierre, does he speak for you? Has he helped to find this middle ground?
Oh, my God, no. The NRA is, to me, a hideous organization. The NRA doesn't want to secure gun rights. The NRA wants to keep this useless debate going because it brings the money in. The NRA is a business. The NRA is not acting in the interests of gun owners. And I think most gun owners know it. That's why there's 100 million gun owners and 4 million members of the NRA. Most gun owners don't want anything to do with the NRA.
Well, on that note, always interesting to talk to you, Dan Baum.
Yeah, it's fun talking to you, too.
Thank you very much. And the author of a book called Gun Guys. And as he said earlier, a gun owner who's also a liberal has some very interesting ideas about how to find common ground between these various factions that often see each other as enemies when it comes to issues of gun control and gun ownership. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times, and you can find out much more about this program, including how to download a podcast of the show, how to find us on Twitter, how to follow us on Facebook, or perhaps it's the other way around. I always forget. I'm Marty Moss going. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us. We'll be right back.